We're going to get started. I'm sorry about the time crunch. That last meeting reminded me of being at home, you know. So anyway, what we're going to do now is we have a quorum, I believe.
We need to call the roll.
Okay, we're going to call the roll, please.
Bruner, Cortese,
here.
Green,
here.
Haggerty,
here.
Jacobs Gibson, Bates,
here.
Calra, Marr,
here.
Ross,
here.
Olkema, that's my old list. PIFO,
here.
Thank you. Gibbs,
here.
Joya,
here.
Wasserman,
here.
Sears, Wagon Connect,
here.
Dodd,
here.
Kinsey, McKenzie,
present.
Dissier.
Okay, we have a quorum. We'd ask staff to give us a really brief. I think everybody's practically heard this at this committee, but why don't we do it? Can you do it really super quick? Because we're all. Okay.
Yes, Chair. Most of you have endured a very long morning talking about Plan Bay Area, so we're not going to give you a big presentation at all about Plan Bay Area. We're going to cut to the chase about the issues related to the Air District, BCDC, working with MTC and ABAG. Really quickly, today the committee's released the draft preferred scenario, the transportation investment scenario, and the jobs housing connection strategy, which is a land use component of the draft preferred scenario. In many ways, it's not new. Those of you involved in regional work know that a lot of this is based around the priority development areas. Now 79% of the housing in the draft scenario is distributed in priority development areas, 64% of new jobs. These are places well served by transit and supported by the draft transportation investment strategy. One of the questions related to working on air quality issues and relative to PDAs is how can the regional agencies promote healthy infill and how are public health issues addressed. There is, as this map shows, areas of overlap between priority development areas, those are the areas in red, and the care communities that the Air District has developed a framework for in recent years. Some of the work that's going on right now between MTC and ABAG and the Air District, Air District staff has been involved in the development of Plan Bay Area, of the SCS, and both the land use and transportation components. They're involved in the Regional Advisory Working Group. They sit on a number of technical working groups. They do a lot of the technical work pertaining to the RTP as it relates to air quality. And they've been involved in the development of what the committees just addressed, the One Bay Area Grant Program, as well as electric vehicle planning and implementation. Doug and I were at an Air District meeting just last week, and we talked about, well, actually the Air District members discussed with us a number of issues, key among them that we acknowledge health risks related to infill development near sources of emissions, to develop a process for supporting healthy infill development. One of the ways to do that was talked about were the PDA planning grants, and that the regional agencies collaborate to provide support for local jurisdictions trying to do these things at one time, to accommodate growth in priority development areas and do so in a way that's healthy for residents. So with that, Doug is going to talk with us about BCDC.
So just real briefly on the too many mics on. Can you hear? My staff attended the BCDC meeting, gave a presentation a couple of weeks ago, and what you see here on this slide is basically what they heard. Just running down it real quick, I think the first one, that's something I think could be easily done in the next plan. I think on the second point, the regional agencies I think would need to decide on this. Again, I think most of all these would be for the next plan, and then funding for adaptation should be considered. I think that's something also we would want to consider for the next plan. So I think most of these suggestions moving forward would be some things that we could easily pick up as we prepare for the next plan after it's adopted in April, so, you know, probably about 2.5 years hence. With regard to the RTP EIR that we talked about earlier, that is going to be getting underway next month, as I think we discussed. One of the comments, mitigation measures developed for Bay Area EIR should be discussed with BCDC. We will definitely do that. At least one of the EIR alternatives should consider sea level rise. That's something we can definitely consider. And mitigation measures should include more strategies in hardening the shoreline, which is something I think we agree with. And then regard to the next SCS, commitment to creating regional adaptation plan, I think that's what this body has been charged to do, so we'll be looking for your leadership in developing that. And then sea level rise should be considered in all planning studies. Again, I think that's something that the JPC is geared up to do. So this is sort of the crux of the issue. We've got PDAs, and we've got sea level rise, and we've got PDAs that are in the 100-year floodplain. So the question is what do we do when we look at development in those areas? And I think that's where we look to some of the policies that we've just talked about. One of the projects we just got through finished, we just finished with working through with BCDC, NOAA, and a few others is the Advancing Rising Tides project. It's something I think we want to replicate more on a regional basis, and we just received the Prop 84 grant for planning from the Strategic Growth Council, and there's an element in there for continuing the ART project and looking at resiliency from rising tides. So that's more work we definitely will be doing. And then I don't think there's much to say about this. You had a big discussion about this topic as part of the OBAG grant program, but it's another issue that we'll be looking at, I think, regionally, moving ahead and developing a more cogent and direct priority conservation plan and planning effort. So this just talks about the next steps. We will be engaging both agencies as we develop the EIR alternatives. We had mentioned that earlier. We look forward to their help and expertise on funding and collaboration on these policies, and look for some guidance on developing a PCA program and engaging stakeholders interested in putting a matching fund, which will be an important component, again, of our PCA program. I think you've all seen this schedule. I won't belabor that anymore. And so that concludes our presentation.
Okay, thank you. Obviously we scheduled this meeting, and we really appreciate everybody coming, was to think about have an opportunity for us to comment and have an opportunity to, you know, bring forward things that we think are important for the meeting that will be held next Thursday on the 17th. So I would appreciate it now if people would like to just have some discussion about things that maybe should be brought to our attention right away, and other things that, since this is a cycle and we're going to have this, you know, as soon as we get done with this CSC, we're going to be doing another one. So the question is, what are some of the things that we haven't actually, you know, addressed properly in this current discussion? What comes to my mind is some of the things that, you know, just offhand, climate change and sea level rise, I don't believe in my own mind have adequately, addressed that in this SES. So the question is, that needs to be brought forward in the future, I think, and fleshed out more. I wonder about the 200 or so PDAs, how are they going to be adequately funded, and how they're adequately going to operate, given the situation with the elimination of redevelopment, and how are we going to finance this infrastructure that's going to be necessary to make this happen? And So those are some of the thoughts that I had just offhand, and I'd like to open it up for people who like to think about things that we might want to, at the end of this discussion, I would hope that we would potentially, if we felt that there was a consensus of opinion or a motion, that we would express that at the meeting on the 17th, the full meeting. Zach, do you wish to be recognized?
Yes, thank you. I think that Steve, or Doug rather, and his staff captured the BCDC input pretty well. Just to emphasize a couple of points, I agree with the chair's comments. I don't think the current SCS draft adequately addresses rising sea level. And I think at this point in time, it can't. But I do think that the suggestions that were on those slides become very important. One of the ways to help move that forward is if one of the EIR alternatives, obviously we don't know which one yet, does address that, we start to grapple with it in the next stage even of this plan. I also think that this plan should have, and staff has indicated that that is the intention, a parking lot list, if you like, of the most important issues which need to be addressed for the next plan. And part of the reason that is important is that those don't get left till the end of the next planning process, but really are done at the beginning. And I think if we can do that, those will be reasonable measures taken to address that. The funding issues for both adapting to rising sea level and for the PDA issue, while very important for the reality of this, are also probably beyond any reasonable scope of the plan this time out. Next time, I think they'll be critical.
Anyone else wish to bring something else? Mark?
One thing we heard all morning, Tom, well, not all morning, but some of the morning, even early afternoon, it was on the economic front and on this, what we have heard from the public, number one, improve the Bay Area economy. And I think it, as Tom had mentioned, the other Tom, so to speak, at the last meeting, is that, you know, this the cost of housing alone. Forget everything else, sea rise, transportation, on and on and on. Just the cost of housing is going to be so enormous to solve those problems. And what we need to be finding, instead of just hearing people talk about, oh, we need regulatory reform, we need to have people say exactly what they want. What, you know, and then we make it, and then policymakers make a determination, is that worth it? Okay. If we do A, B, C, and D, then this is what will happen in terms of economic growth, housing production, and then this might be the consequences of that. But we need to have that discussion needs to take place at some point. Instead of just espousing, oh, everybody's, I'm for regulatory reform, we need to convene people who say this regulation right now is costing us this in time and this in money. And is that worth it, or does that need to be changed? That's what we need to be hearing. We need to be hearing some concrete discussion items on how to improve the Bay Area economy, because if we don't improve the Bay Area economy, I mean, not just now in the short term, but I'm talking about over the next 20 years, then all of this funding that everybody has it's a ravenous appetite for, in whatever cause they're espousing, that isn't going to be there. So we need to have people making as much money as they possibly can, and we need to have companies being successful, because otherwise our taxation basis in this state and in this county and in this region isn't going to be sufficient to get all these infrastructure costs across done. So we need to be convening, I think, Tom, at some point in this area. What is it going to take to get regulations? What regulations need to be reformed, and what good will it do us if we do that?
Okay. Well, clearly we need to figure out, and I don't think it was properly addressed, is how we're going to grow the economy here in this SES. I know it's not a criticism of the SES. I just don't think we, you know, they have the time or the effort. But the next one, we ought to figure out how we can, you know, what are our strategies to grow our economy. Anyone else want to add something that we want for our discussion at this point? Everybody looks perplexed here.
Yeah, this is Lee from...
or brain dead, one of the two.
Tom.
Yes, please, Lee.
Caltrans has participated in the Adapting to Rising Tides, and we find the product to be very, very valuable. And so it's encouraging to hear that we're going to, the Prop 84 grant came in, and maybe you can share a little bit about prioritization of the next portion of the Bay Area that's going to be looked at.
So does anyone else want to add anything? Or Jake, do you want to?
Yeah, just the mention of Prop 84 grant money stimulated my brain. Sonoma County just received a $1 million Strategic Growth Council grant, which will enable us to address some of the questions you raised about doing more about climate change and working with the jurisdictions in Sonoma County, the Transportation Authority and the Regional Climate Protection Authority. So I think there are other things going on that we need to be sure that we connect in to this overall work that we're doing on the sustainable community strategy.
Tom? Yeah, just I think both the issues raised by the Air District and BCDC are the types of issues that I think sort of exemplify why the discussion at JPC can be very important, because there's often tension and conflict between very good individual goals of each of these regional agencies, and that the ability to have the discussion at JPC about how do you balance all of these individual goals in the interest of the region, and clearly in the SCS strategy, that's important. Just to indicate, I think having JPC involved with both these discussions is, I think, very important in reaching resolution for the region. And I think for the reasons Zach mentioned as well, I mean, BCDC really wanted to have the sea level rise issue sort of looked at by all local government in the Bay Area and by all regional agencies. And the view is that JPC makes a lot of sense as the entity that can help bring together and facilitate, not that it does all the work, but we're representatives from all the regional agencies here, and how we facilitate bringing in the other levels of government as that plan moves forward.
Okay. Is there a staff want to make any comments about this before we? Yes. Why?
I just wanted to suggest that we don't have to wait till the next SCS. We have the environmental document that has to be prepared for this plan, and so the issues of sea level rise or air to some degree can be discussed and mitigations identified, or at least identified in that process.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think that to really get into depth, we're going to have to really, you know, go a lot further. So can I recommend that, since we're all sort of, unless someone else likes to speak, that we consider making some kind of a formal statement around the next SCS that we deal with the issue of sea level rise and also the economic strategy, that we feel that's an important strategy for us to move forward with. Is that all right? Is people, you, Seth, you have a problem with that? Okay. I feel like we're all, I know I'm speaking personally, after 5 hours of dialogue, we're ready to vote for anything.
Mr. Chair.
I'm going to move for...
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
And one quick comment.
Yeah, sure.
The inclusion of sea level rise is the obvious one,
uh-huh.
But it's the freshwater problem, or lack thereof, that we're going to have that's going to affect our economy far greater than any plan that we could come up with, good or, you know, positive or negative. And the water conservation element, it just, you know, because we're flush with water now and it's not on the top of our minds, but we know that it's going to be a problem. A new conveyance system for water is going to be proposed, if it already hasn't, by the state. It may affect our supply, it may not, but that issue is going to come to the fore. And for us to, it seems like it's just not being addressed in any form, shape, or manner. We're looking at sea level rise, but it's the other water we've got to start worrying about, because that will severely cramp our economic abilities in the future.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to move to the next item, which is basically board comments and feedback. Let me start off by making some comments about this bill that's been passed out to 1149. First of all, I wanted to let people know that The Marks de Solanay is a friend of mine. I've traveled with him over, you know, overseas, and I see him occasionally socially and in Sacramento. And when he prepared this bill, there were certain ideas I shared with him that I thought was a good idea to move forward with to form some kind of regional government. And I also suggested to him at the time that the best way to approach this was to introduce and have a series of community meetings and bring in the people who are involved and have a discussion and actually formulate a bill on the basis of the discussion. I was a little surprised when he called me and told me that the bill was had been introduced. He has indicated, of course, the bill, as you probably know, the bill has passed his committee with a 9-0 vote and then passed the next committee, I think it was 5-1, and now is going to the Appropriations Committee. And he's indicated he was here today. He actually planned to come to our meeting, this meeting, and present at this meeting. Well, obviously our timing was so screwed up that he had to leave for another meeting, but he had intended to do so. He indicated to myself and also to John Gioia that he's very interested and to meet with the chairs of the various agencies and have a sit down with them and discuss his bill and get their ideas about the bill. He's open to that, and it's a little. It's kind of like the horse is out of the barn. It's a little difficult to get it back in the barn. But in any case, my personal view is that there's such a local storm that's building up here that it's going to be very difficult for him to move any kind of legislation through the legislature this year. So I think the idea of going slow and talking to people and trying to build some kind of consensus at the local level for some changes is the proper way to go, and I think he'll eventually end up there. Those are the latter part of my own ideas. But he's very much his own man, very much goes by his own drummer. And so in any case, I wanted to make those comments. John?
Yeah, I just wanted to exit. Zach. So not staying here. Okay. What he indicated to me, I know he called Zach as the chair of BCDC, spoke to me as chair of Air District. I think he said he had talked to Julie Pierce, and I think he's calling. His goal is to assemble the officers of the regional agencies to sit down and solicit input about how to amend the bill. So he seemed very open about that. Yeah, I think like you, Tom, I think all of us were taken off guard when the bill came out without much local discussion. So the good news is that he's now engaged with, I think, the leadership of each of the four regional agencies, and he's about I'm not sure, Amy, if he reached and said he was going to call you, so that he's going to sit down and plan a meeting with all the regional agencies to be able to and to amend the bill. That's what I'm conveying what he said. I'm just being a messenger. And
we're going to shoot you, right?
Right. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm conveying. I think we all owe, when someone conveys something, to at least convey what they told us.
And that's fair.
Right. And he apparently left to be on a panel with your wife, Tom, and Tom Tordickson in San Francisco with 1,000 people at some event he had to be at. But he wanted to convey that personally.
I also want to mention to people that we have it's ironic because we scheduled this meeting because we wanted to make an input into the SCS. So we made it today. We're actually meeting again next week. And it will be on our agenda. Right. I've invited him to come. I don't know if he can come to that meeting or not.
To that meeting, yeah.
But can I get a Brown Act check here? I mean, I'm sure.
This is a under.
Well, we're having a very lengthy discussion about something that is not on the agenda.
Okay.
So I appreciate that Mr. DeSaulnier wants to meet with the chairs of the agency, but I suggest you start meeting with 9 Bay Area counties and a lot of cities, 110 cities that are really pissed right now.
Well,
if we get a Brown Act check, is there an attorney in the house?
John's an attorney.
I think we're just making comment. We're not taking a position.
Arguing the position.
We're not taking any action.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right.
Adrian, you're recognized.
I'd just like to make a comment because this is what's so disturbing to me at MTC is the fact that we've been trying for well over a month to get a meeting with Senator Desaulniers, and the fact that he's talked to everybody but me as the chair of MTC is disturbing, and it just shows you that that's what the bill's all about. It's all about MTC.
Anyone else want to make a comment? Yes, John?
Two comments.
You're a lawyer. Are you violating the Brown Act?
I try very hard, as many of you know, perhaps not all, I am a lawyer, and indeed I advise public agencies. So I have an opinion on it, but I'm also trying very hard to wear the hat as chair of BCDC, not lawyer for this or BCDC. So I'm actually not intentionally going to answer the question. My second is to participate in a comment, however.
Okay.
Not intentionally. I appreciate, A, that in many ways I'm a newcomer, and two, that there is a lot of history here, which is very important. We did have a meeting, Steve Goldbeck and I, meeting with Senator Desaulniers. We'd set up the meeting not on 1149. It was on a different issue. But since it was there, we also talked about it. He conveyed the same kind of thing that John Gioia described. And while I'm not suggesting that any of your agencies should not oppose this bill, I think you probably have to. I do think that it would be useful to engage in the discussion while making very clear that he absolutely needs to include MTC, and not including them is only rubbing salt on some wounds on both sides. But I think in our discussion that it, in fact, can be fruitful and is a part of what the JPC and the Executive Committee of JPC, which had its first meeting a couple of weeks ago, is now trying to do. And I think if we continue on that path, maybe accelerate a little bit and communicate that, I think we can get beyond that on this issue. There are some others that may have other difficulties, but I do think there is some productive discussions that can take place.
Jim?
Yeah, I'm fascinated how he wants to meet with us to talk about how to amend the bill. The discussion ought to be how do we kill the bill. And, I don't know that I have any interest in amending this bill that's being proposed. It's very unfortunate. Mr. Dodd and I sat in the senator's office, and he assured us that he would have a meeting with the various agencies before he introduced any legislation, but I guess that, slipped his mind. It's very interesting how it goes through two committees when many of the agencies didn't even have the opportunity to take a position. Right now, we 9 counties and 101 cities are all mobilizing in opposition of this bill. So what does he want us to do, undo that? I'm very concerned about this whole process. It's really fairly insulting to local elected officials, as you read the bill and what's in the bill. What's in the bill is very disturbing. But maybe something that would be appropriate is to have a discussion about governance at this committee, Tom, and, that we really talk about what is it we're trying to fix or what is it that's wrong. And, I was very encouraged that at least the senator came to our meeting today and saw ABAG and MTC all sitting at the same table, working together and implementing many of the things that he's criticizing us for not doing. I'm very concerned that there's been no contact with MTC. I mean, it's fairly deliberate. And, when you put language in that bill, here he's trying to bring together all these regional agencies, but yet let's, heaven forbid, put them in one building, one headquarters, to where we could have some, consolidation of many of the services and programs that we're trying to implement. It's a very vindictive bill, and I hope the attitude changes. And is there room for improvement? The answer is absolutely yes, but it's not going to happen with the opposition of all these cities and counties, because everybody's very concerned about the attack on land use and the attack on many of the very programs that we're trying to implement that really helps facilitate SB 375. There's a total disregard for the tremendous success that has been and accomplishments and the work that's been done. It's almost as if we haven't done anything. And that, to me, is probably the most disturbing thing. When you look at how we've moved SB 375, we're incentivizing, we're getting cities and counties. We're doing all that heavy lifting and all that hard work, and there's no recognition of that, and that's very disturbing. And to me, that's a real disconnect between this legislature. And the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll be done, is, you know, when you look at the tremendous challenges that this state faces, this really is a high priority for us, isn't it? I'm glad this senator and many of them are focusing on regional governance and not the real issues that face this state.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, the situation is that he's actually initiating all of the terms. I mean, you know, he doesn't meet. You know, all of a sudden we get a bill. You know, he comes. And so it's very, very upsetting to try to have a rational process, but I think we need to continue to try to do so. At our next meeting on Friday, we will have it. We'll have it back, and you know, we'll have some more discussion at that point. We'll know more about it, what's actually happening. At our meeting next week, we are going to have an opportunity to have hear more about that art project that you indicated, which is a project's going on in the East Bay about rising tide. We're also going to have Sean Randolph has been working on his regional economic strategies, and there's some very interesting information that he's going to be able to share with us about near-term green jobs and some other things. And we're also going to have an opportunity to hear from Travis about some of this, things that we're dealing with around conflict and conflict resolution. I also should mention to you, we did have an executive board meeting, which I think was highly successful, and it was really the right track. It gave us a chance to talk about things. We'll continue in that vein. And unless somebody has some information or they would like to bring up around this issue, I'm going to go to public comments. Anyone in the public wish
Mr.
to make?
Chair.
I'm sorry, Mary. Sorry.
Thank you, Tom. Mr. Chairman, just a quick question on the agenda for the 18th.
Uh-huh.
Meeting, will SB 1149 be actually on that agenda so we can appropriately take a position?
Yeah, and we'll have an action. It'll be an action position.
Just wanted to confirm.
Right now, information, we'll change that to action.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Does staff have anything? Maybe they want to make any comments? Okay. So anyone from the public wishes to address the Joint Policy Committee? Seeing none. We're going to adjourn until next week, so we'll see you on the 18th. Thanks for coming, and see you soon.